Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
When he travels, he is flagged by the TSA as a targeted man. To avoid his new endearment for the Homeland Security, he shaves his beard twice a day. When he smiles, you can't stop yourself from smiling the rest of your day. The New York Times commented, he had the audience convulsing. He insists that his biggest credit is that he is a husband and a father. You feel encouraged by being in his presence. Entertainment is not his calling, it's his life. Join me as we meet the funniest man on this side of Egypt.
Good morning. Thank you, thank you. Good morning, good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Daddy, Father, thank you so much for today. There's people here, you love him more than we do, so I pray there's some that needs laughter today to heal, so give him that. Some needs to be encouraged, encourage him, and some to be need to be convicted. You slap them on the back of their head, Lord. They're your people, and you love them, so we ask that you speak through me when I share the message when the unexpected takes longer than expected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, this is beautiful. This is awesome. Have a seat. Thank you so much. I know I had Pastor David pray for me. I used to let anybody pray for me. Not anymore. Because the minute they start praying, you can't stop them. One time, this guy comes to me, he goes, can I pray for you? I'm like, sure. I didn't know he was like an 80s DJ. I was like, Lord, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Lord, be with Nazareth every breath he takes, every move he makes. If he has the sniffles or the night fever, let him know he will survive. And if Kiki doesn't love him, you still do. And when Satan comes his way, let him beat it. Just beat it in Jesus' name. But if you don't know me, I am from the Middle East, but ever since September 11th, I feel so Mexican. You know, it's hard being from the Middle East because you can't run through the airport, so I'm always missing my connection flights. So I'm always, you know, whenever I watch the news and there's a shooting or bombing, I'm like, please, Lord Jesus, don't let it be a Middle Eastern. Please. Hurricane, let it be Hurricane Bob, Hurricane Matthew, not Hurricane Abdul, or Hurricane Ahmed. Because whenever these terrorists do something, we Middle Eastern people cannot do it anymore. Like, I can't fly a plane anymore. I can't rent a truck anymore. I can't buy knives from Bed Bath & Beyond anymore. I have to wait 2 weeks for a federal background check. What do you need them for, a salad? Why can't these terrorists do something I don't want to do, like blow up a colonoscopy clinic or something? But my name is Nazareth. I was born in the city of Nazareth in Israel. You know, I'm from the land of milk and honey, but I'm lactose intolerant. I've been living in California for 38 years. Any Californians here? Gallons. $7 a gallon, people, gas, $7 a gallon. Not only I shake the nozzle, I lick it now. And I live in Corona, California. That's the name of my town, Corona, California. And there used to be known for beer, then COVID. And now after the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, you saw the guy with the desk throw guy from Corona? That's my Amazon delivery guy. But it's so good. This church has been so generous. Like, yes, last night, Pastor Mark took me to this place called Sugar Firehouse. Oh, man, I'm not used to this Missouri food, people. How many of you are under 30 years of age? Eat whatever you want. Don't diet. eat whatever you want. Because we thought our stomach will do whatever we want. We can eat whatever. The rest of our life, our stomach will just say, yes, dear, whatever you want, I'll do it. Last night, we went and I had a little more, too much fried food and stuff. And I went to the hotel, I'm ready to sleep, and my stomach said, hey, we need to talk. I'm like, about what? About this, tonight, you embarrassed me. What did I do now? Just the way you just eat anything, just, you know, you're not young anymore, you know? And one day you're gonna look like your dad. Hey, don't bring my dad into the subject every time we argue. Don't talk about my father. You know, you're the one that we're growling. Well, when I growl, I need attention. I don't want you to just shut me off with this food. I was like, okay, well, can I go to sleep right now? No, we need to talk. You don't love me anymore. You used to be proud of me, take your shirt off, show me to everybody. You used to call me tummy, now I'm your gut. You think I like to hang over your belt? I don't, but I do. You know why? Because I trusted you. Do I look fat in your shirts? I do. You know why? Because I trusted you. Well, you know what? I don't need this. I'm going to go to sleep. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and sleep. Because I have acid. I'm going to shoot up your throat right now. But it's just, it's getting older and stuff. How many of you are married? 2 days ago, I celebrated my 26 years of marriage. Yes. I love my wife more today than when I met her. A just beautiful woman, loves the Lord. We don't have a perfect marriage. We have a great marriage, not a perfect marriage. It's not like I'm sitting on the recliner sleeping and my wife is looking at me going, thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your beloved sleep. He missed the trash truck twice in the last 2 weeks. And I don't look at the American Express bill and go, thank you, Lord, for my wife. For at the mall, she walks by faith, not by sight. But if you're single, how many single people here? If you're single, listen to me. Don't just go find someone and marry them. Don't do that. You know, some guys like no job, nothing, you know, sitting home goes, I want to marry her. She's a 10. And she has 2 jobs, so I don't have to work. I want her. No. Before you get married, go to a real estate agent. Do we have any in the room? Yes. And go to her and let him pre-qualify you. You go there and say, I'm a 10. And she goes, no, you're not. You're a 2. No, I'm a 10. No. You have no job. We looked at your social media. You're a 2. Well, you don't believe me? We'll bring the appraiser. And the appraiser comes in and he goes, yeah, 2 or 3. And then, you go, so what do I do? Well, you go find a woman who's 2 or 3. Get her MLS number and bring it to us. So you go around and you go, you sure I'm 2? Yep, the inspector said you're a 2. And this market, maybe you're a 3, but that's okay. So you find someone, you bring it to them, and you give them the MLS number, and they look at it and go, okay, nobody made an offer on her. Go out and ask her out. So you go ask her out, you start dating, you get married. This is what you need to do on wedding day. Some people wait years to tell their spouses secrets they've had. You have to give disclaimers right there. Yeah, you'll be like, before I marry you, I want you to know, I'm a little fixer-upper, but I have a great foundation. Well, I want you to know, when I was 12, I used to be a bedwetter, but now all the plumbing works. Well, you know what? Maybe there's not much up in the attic, but I'm in a great school district. Well, my backyard is bigger than the rest of the neighborhood, but I'm willing to downsize. And then once you say I do, get Verizon Wireless to write the marriage contract. Because you can never get out of it. But, I'm married. I have 3 kids. My son's 24. My daughter's 21. My other daughter's 14. I don't know. I think we work so hard, but our kids are a little entitled. Is that me or just my kids? Okay, just my kids. They're entitled. You know, they think they're kings and queens now. They're sitting on the throne going, hey, Spotify, play me my million songs that I love. DoorDash, bring me my food. Tesla, you drive. This is dangerous because you can destroy that generation by just changing the password on the Wi-Fi. They are gone. Like the other day, Spectrum, my, you know, AT&T, they called me and said, hey, we're going to shut down the Wi-Fi for 2 hours. I'm like, okay, that's fine. 2 hours, nothing. My kids came, Dad! Dad! Dad, what happened? Call them! I go, it's only 2 hours. 2 hours? What am I going to do? I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't talk to. What am I going to do? I said, read a book or something. I read my book on my phone. I need to talk to Mom. I need to text Mom. Well, she's right there. Go talk to her. But marriage, there's competition in the marriage, people. You know, me and my wife, we love each other so much, but we compete. Like the other day, she was doing CrossFit, and I walk into the room, and she goes, I bet you can't do that. I'm like, what? Push-up. I'm like, I'll do, how many you need? She goes, do 5. I go, I'll do 75. So I started doing it. After the second one, my hand became numb. True story, I'm not making this up. I became concerned. She's laughing, I'm concerned. I called my physician, he goes, run to the ER right now. So we ran to the ER, she's laughing all the way in the car. I'm concerned, I get there. They go, I think you have a stroke, so we have to keep you overnight. I'm like, okay, so I laid flat there and they did an MRI on the brain. And then the nurse comes in, she goes, what is your religious beliefs? I go, why do you know that? She goes, some religions, they don't accept stuff. I said, oh. My God wants me alive. That's what I believe. My God wants me alive. So they kept me. The next morning, the neurologist came. This is a true story. He goes, I think you don't have a stroke. You just hurt the nerve right here when you're doing. So take it easy on push-ups next time. She's laughing. I came home. I was excited. I'm like, I don't have a stroke. A month later, we got the bill for the MRI and the one day at the other, $37,000. I'm serious, when I saw the bill, I had a stroke. But where is the man? You know, let me pray before I start the message. I wanna pray for the women in this room. Ladies, if your husband snores, raise your arm and keep it up. It's church, be honest. Be honest, don't be scared. Oh, don't do that. I have an aunt who died from secondhand sleep apnea. Ladies, you can die from the snoring your husband does. Because men don't admit it. No, I don't snore. 200 likes on Facebook. I taped you last night. Sir, remember when she was single before marrying you? She was praying for a prince. And she, you're her prince. She goes, Lord, send me a prince. We're not going to sleep at night anymore. We're going to pray and talk and read the Bible together. And then wedding night at midnight, he's... But you're still madly in love. You go, oh, Lord, my honey needs oxygen. Tilt your head, honey bun. You're making little noises. 2 years later, you still have not slept since wedding night. He's still, but now your attitude have changed. You look at him, look up and said, Lord, Moses killed an Egyptian and you forgave him. Let's just call it a pillow fight that went wrong. Ah! 5 years later, you no longer sleep in bed next to him. You're just standing there staring at him. I don't respect you. Look at you, you oxygen hog. You suck the roof when you inhale. And you start treating him like a dog. Roll over, roll over. And he goes, what? Lay down. 10 years later, he has a machine now. Anybody there yet? I should have listened to my mother. She knew something was wrong with him. 15 years later, he's older, drooling, hair on the floor, like all night. You just look at him like I said, Lord, just take him. I sacrifice that prince back to you. Just like Abraham put Isaac on the altar, here you go. And don't send me a ram. I'm going to keep the ram. I'd rather hear bad than... See, some of them, what does he sound like? Some of them sound like a Harley Davidson that needs tune-up. They'll be... Honey, put it in neutral. I'm trying to sleep. Some sound like a lion facing a hummingbird. They'll be... Some of them scarier. They'll be... Wake up, we have a mortgage. Wake up. Not in this pandemic, you're not leaving me. I don't know why I don't snore. I'm from the Middle East. We're like Jewish people. We snore when we talk. Hi, how are you? One time, I was doing the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, home of country music, and they gave me this big suite at the Opryland Hotel. Forgot to book a room for my road manager and my team. So I told the road manager, hey, I have an extra bed. You can join. He goes, no. I said, come on. So he's older. I'm sleeping. He's sleeping. I wake up to hear someone cutting a tree and eating Doritos at the same time. I'm like, all night. So I got mad. I put my headphones on. I turned it to Drake. The loudest thing could come up. It didn't help. It was like, I said, no. So I took my pillow. I said, I'm going to choke him a little bit to wake him up. So I get close to him. I'm ready to choke him. He started dreaming out loud. Oh, they're coming. Open the door. Run to the car. The car was stuck. I wanted to choke him, but I wanted to hear the end of the story. God bless you, brother. There's a gift for you outside. When you... You know, we've been through COVID, and some of us thought it was 2 weeks and 3 weeks. And then it's lasted 2 years. And some of us lost their jobs and they go, it'll be a week before it gets back, and it didn't back, not yet. Some of you got cancer and you thought it'll be gone after the, you know, they'll remove it and it's still there. Some of you, the relationship is not restored yet. And some of your kids, you're still praying for them, but they're not back to the Lord yet. And you go, what's going on? What do you do when the unexpected takes longer than expected? I'm gonna give you four things that will really help you as you go through this. A few years ago, the first thing I wanna give it to you is called remember your prior blessings. Remember your prior blessings. A few years ago, I was with Chuck Colson's and we went to prisons all over the country. And I was in Indiana Maximum Security Prison. And after the service, I did the comedy and all that. Some of the Christian men who are more free than a lot of people outside of the walls, they said, come see our chapel. And they were excited. So I went, it's a small, small chapel like this size here. And they were happy about it. I'm looking at it. I saw writing on one wall. I said, what is that for? He goes, when we pray and we ask something from God, we write it here. I go, what about all this writing on the other wall, the same side? They go, when God answers yes, no, or wait, or I'll give you to a peace, or don't worry about it, we write it here. And it's a constant reminder that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember the last time your kid was sick and God healed him? Remember the last time you couldn't pay the rent and God provided? Remember the last time you thought you're dying but you didn't and God healed you? You know, he's the same. He will still do the same thing. He would do that again. And it's just, he's the same. And you know, there's a wonderful story in the Bible in Mark 8:17. Okay, I'll read it to you. Why Jesus was talking to the disciples right after they've seen the miracle of God feeding the 5,000 and feeding the 4,000. And now they're on the boat and they're arguing going, we didn't bring bread. We didn't bring enough bread. And Jesus looks at them and goes, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? He knew that we're saying, he said, why? Okay, this is, I'm going to read it from here. You have eyes and can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? God is looking at you when you're praying and you're scared. He goes, don't you remember when I took care of you last time? Please journal, start writing your prayers. And when it's answered, check next to it. And next time you're going through something, flip back and read, oh, God came through. He's coming through again. Amen. Amen. The second thing, put your ego aside. Some of you goes, there's no way I can go to Church on the Rock and go to their pantry and get some food. I'm the one that used to donate. I can't take that job. I was the CEO. How can I take a job that's less? Well, things change. For a season, God changes situations, and sometimes it humbles us. But you gotta be able to do that. It's okay. It's okay. There's a great story in the Bible about Elijah the prophet. Elijah was on top of the mountain challenging 400 bad, horrible prophets that didn't believe in God. And he defeated them, killed, had them all killed. And then Jezebel, the queen, said, I'm gonna kill you before the day is over. And he was scared and he ran in the desert and sat by a brook. And God used a raven, a crow, a scavenger to bring him food, and then used a widow to take care of him. How humbling is that? But it's okay. God sometimes humbles us for a season. Be flexible. It's okay. It's okay to receive when you're always the one giving. So when the unexpected takes longer than expected, it's okay to humble yourself through that. Number three, believe what Jesus said. Believe what God's word said. If Pastor David said, next Tuesday, we're going to have a meeting here. I want you all to come, and it's free, and it doesn't matter if it's raining or shine or storms or whatever, we're going to meet here on Tuesday at 6 p.m. How many of you honestly would believe there'll be a meeting here on Tuesday at 6 p.m.? You would believe that, right? Why don't you believe when Jesus said in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Why don't we believe God when he says stuff? You know, there's a great, in Matthew 6, there's a great chapter. You hear a lot. It's been preached a lot. But to me, it's just blow my mind because God the Creator is actually sitting, reasoning with us. He's reasoning with you. I mean, can you imagine the Creator, like you talking to an ant and trying to reason with an ant, and he's going, why do you worry about what to eat? Why do you worry about what to drink or what you put on? Is not life more important than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than these birds? How many of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his stature? You know what? If you want to go home with one thing, go home with this. How many of you, by worrying and being anxious, can fix your problem and what you're praying for? When's the last time you said, oh, man, if I only worried more, this problem would have been solved? Really, when's the last time being anxious and worried did anything for you? But what do you do? That's the first thing we go to. You know, we don't go to prayer. We don't go to the Lord. We just go to that. And, you know, it says, and he said also, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed as such as these. And he said, did you know that he knew when you prayed this morning? Did you know God knew about your needs? Because he's after that, for your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows that. He knows before you even say it, before you even think about it. He wants you to say it because he wants you to know you trust him. And don't just say it without belief. Do it with faith. Say, Lord, you know my needs. You know what I need. And I know you can take care of them. You've done it in the past. And I know you're not surprised by COVID. You're not surprised about things that's going on in our country because you know all about that. And I wanna believe in you. You know what's the biggest thing that worries you? Some people think, oh, it's cancer. Some people just go, I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. You know what we're scared of? Death. That's what you're scared of. And guess what? Jesus conquered death. He's the only one who conquered death. And you know that. You know he conquered death, and death has no power over us. Yeah, we get scared. We don't want it to happen. But you know what? If it happens, you're going to be with him. And that's the encouragement for us. So believe what Jesus said. Believe what he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why aren't you praying for your loved ones? Why aren't you praying for your friends? Why aren't you telling your friends about Jesus when you know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and no one will make it to heaven except through Jesus and believing in him. The last one, be light in this dark time. You know, some of you have been coming to church for years. Some of you have been in Bible studies, small groups, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, doing your work. You know what? When COVID happened, God said, it's time to play. You've been practicing. You've been doing all that. Let's go to the game. And what did some Christians say? Get away from me. I don't want to talk. Get away. No, I don't want to talk to anybody. Oh, no, I don't have enough toilet paper. I can't share with people. I can't. No, I don't know how much money I'm going to have left. I'm not even going to tithe to church anymore. I'm just going to hold on and hang on till this whole thing is over. And you know what? Don't talk to me. Get away from me. That's how some Christians, not all of us, some Christians acted like that. I'm like, what? And God's going, what? This is time to play. This is the time where everybody is scared. You know, those people who don't know me, you know, they were trusting in their jobs and their jobs are gone. They were trusting in their stock and their stock is gone. They were trusting in their health and their health officials and that was gone. They were trusting in the news and the news was wrong. You know, and you got scared. They're scared. People are still scared out there. And they need hope. And what do? Oh, they will reject us. Oh, they will not do that. They will. Please. Listen. In 2009, God allowed me to open a ministry for the refugees that come from Iraq, Syria, Iran, Afghanistan, and now the Ukraine. That they come to Southern California. And we are able to do ESL and love on them and get them jobs and help them with their resumes and teach them how to drive. And we do that all that free. The reason I'm not saying that to brag, but what I'm saying is we serve 2,000 families and we gave them the Lord Jesus and the, you know, and we gave them Bibles and we prayed with them. Not once someone said, I don't want to hear about your Christianity. I don't want to hear about that. You know why? Because you love on them and you help them. If you walk to someone in the street, hey, you need Jesus or you're going to hell. Guess what? They're going to reject you. Yeah. But if you just wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you, hey, go love on that person. Some of you are going to go to lunch today. You know that waiter could be at the verge of suicide. Wow. He maybe needs to hear from you today and say, hey, Jesus loves you. Guess what? You know, and just a wonderful story. Jesus in Mark 5, he was in this... he went to Gennesaret and land, and there was a man that was full of demons. He had a legion of demons in him, and he was, he was just cutting himself because people think cutting is a new thing. It's not. It's demonic, and he was cutting himself and full of these demons. And then Jesus comes in and look at him, and Jesus, this is what he said. And so. Look at him, and he goes, what's your name? He goes, I am he, they, and them. No, he's from California. He said, no, that's bad. That's horrible. But I'm a comedian. Sometimes my mind goes there. But the guy who had lesions in him, they said, please, Lord, don't torment us. Number one, the demons believe in God. They believe Jesus is Lord. So if you don't, you're worse than them. Number two, you know, they say, don't torment us. They've been tormenting that guy for almost all his life. But then when it comes to them, they said, oh, don't torment us. Throw us into the pigs. And then they went in the pigs, and the 2,000 pigs fell in the water and died. And they, you know, being from a kosher country, that was a waste of pork. People say, why would Jesus do that to farmers? Because they shouldn't have. It's a kosher country. They shouldn't be raising pigs. But the story is, Jesus took the demons out of them, out of this man, and he became normal again. And in Mark 5:19-20, he said, Lord, can I go with you? Can I go with you? And Jesus said, did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus has done for him, and they all marveled. Has Jesus ever healed you spiritually? Has Jesus ever revealed truth to you? Has he ever freed you from drugs, alcohol, pornography? Has he ever restored your marriage? Why are you quiet? Imagine you have a daughter that's blind, and you're walking, and then someone comes to you and said, hey, listen, you know what? There's this chamomile oil, you know, you can just rub it on her eyes and she will see again. And you take that chamomile and you put the water and rub it on your daughter's eye and she can see again. And the guy goes, it's free, as many as you want. It's free, that chamomile is free. You can find it anywhere. And you know, daughter here, you're excited and you're walking with your daughter and a family comes in with a blind daughter. How many of you would just walk by them and not do anything? How cheap, how horrible can you be as a person if you know you have the cure and not give it to them? On Friday night, today is Sunday, Friday night I was with Kathy Lee Gifford from they used to do the Today Show. We were in Huckabee together and she said something when her husband died in 2015. She said, we have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. We have the cure for the malignancy of the soul. So when you're at lunch today, when you're with your family later, and when you're with someone, and you know they don't know Jesus, and you know they're struggling, they're spiritually poor and empty, why can't you share what was shared with you for free? Why? Are you embarrassed they're gonna reject you? So what? They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Are you embarrassed? What are you going to lose a job? You're going to lose their financial blessing? So what? God is the source of all your blessing. It's not someone. Fear not. I did not give you a spirit of fear. Let me close with this. I was in, I told you, I've been to so many prisons and I love that. But one time I was in Phoenix Maximum Security Prison and I did the events there. And the warden, the president of the jail, of the prison, he said, Nazareth, you're funny. Would you like to see the death chamber? I'm like, yeah. Every guy would say, yeah. I go, I'll do it on one condition. They go, what? I said, you have to treat me like a dead man walking. He goes, I can't get you the uniform, but I'll get the guards. So he got six guards, and they walked me into the death chamber. And the first thing you see there is a half-oval building. I said, what is that? He said, that's a gas chamber. I go, wow, can I try it? They go, yeah, sure. So they open it's like a bank safe. They open it, and there's a chair in the center. And I went, and I sat there, and I buckled up because it's the law. And they shut the door. They said, in 2 minutes, the gas will start, and within 2 minutes, you'll be gone. Of course, they're not going to start it. But I sat there, and I was thinking, I'm 2 minutes from dying. You don't think about your mortgage. You don't think how your mother-in-law was mean to you. You don't think about you deserve better in life. You don't think of any. All you think about, what's going to happen to me in 2 minutes? But in 1992, I walked into a church and I gave my life to Jesus. And I trusted that if, you know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. I trusted that if I put my faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross, I'll be saved. And therefore, I wasn't concerned. I was like, okay. I'm ready, though, if that's the time, I'm ready. So they open the door and say, are you okay? I said, yes, I'm okay. They go, let's take you to the lethal injection bed. So they took me to the lethal injection bed. It's a small room and with a black window. I said, who's, and they laid me on the gurney and they buckled, you know, they tied me up and they started explaining how the two physicians, the doctors, will insert four medication that will kill me. And the warden's looking at me. He goes, Nazareth, this is as close to death as you'll ever get. I go, no, I fly Southwest Airlines all the time. And that was the only time there was laughter in the death chamber. And the reason I shared this story, not to be funny, but to tell you, I looked to the left and there was a phone, a red phone. I said, what is that for? He goes, oh, the president or the governor can call and they can free you. They can pardon you. What? He goes, they can? They go, yeah, they've done it before. They can do that. I go, what is this microphone hanging over my mouth? He goes, you have to say I accept the pardon. I go, what if I don't? He said, we'll execute you. But the governor, he said, the governor did his part. The ball is in your park. Would you bow your head and close your eyes right now, even if you're watching on, just close your eyes. The governor did his part. The governor, God himself, left heaven and came down to earth and became a human and lived a perfect life for 33 years. And in due time, he went to the cross obediently. And on that cross, he took the punishment that you and I deserve for breaking God's commandment, for breaking commandments of a holy God. And we deserve death because the wages of sin is death. And he knew we can't do it on our own. He knew we cannot be perfect. But because of his love for us, the Son, God the Son, Jesus, took all that upon himself, gave up the ghost, and 3 days later rose from the dead that we can have life and victory over the things that hold us back. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by grace through faith you've been saved. It's a gift from God, not by works, lest anyone brags and boasts. It's a gift from God. That gift is available to you today. But you have to look on, to come close to the microphone and say, I accept that pardon. Because if you don't, you're going to end up in hell. And hell is a real place, never planned to mate for you. But if you reject God, you'll get there. And if you don't accept him, you're not going to make it to heaven. So if you're here this morning, say, Nazareth, I've never asked Christ into my life. Maybe you've been coming here for a while. Or you're watching and said, I've never accepted Christ. I need to accept him today. If that's you, slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. Just slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. You know, better yet, you know what? This is, God wants real men and real women. Would you get up off your seat and come forward? If you need to receive Jesus, come forward. Maybe you were following him before, but you fell, and today God is bringing you back. If that's you, would you get up off your seat and come down here? I know it's embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. I've done it. You know, God wants you to make that real decision. It's not just, yeah. No, real decision. Be a man enough or a woman enough to say, I'm going to make that decision. If that's you, just come down right now. Don't worry about anybody else. Just come down. Come down. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? If you raise your arm, even if you did not, just come down. This is the day. I'm here because God brought me here to you today to tell you he loves you, and you don't know. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed this afternoon. You're not guaranteed tonight. You want to take that chance? If you want to take the chance, remain seated. But if you don't, come down. You know who you are. You know what you need. Just come down. Come down. Come on down. You know who you are. I know it's a struggle. I know you go, I don't know. I don't know. Yes, come down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Come on up. Come on. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another moment. Jesus loves you, and he's here for you today. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you. Some of you are like, come on, you need to get right. Don't worry about other people. They're not going to be around when you're really facing the Lord. Come on down. Anybody else? Come down. Come down. Hey, well, you know, some of you husband, your wife have been praying for you for so long. Your wife has been praying, and you've been so stubborn and rejecting it. Today, God is telling you, you need to surrender your life to him. You need to surrender your life to him. Come on down. Come on down. We're going to pray for you. Come on down. Come on down. I know there's one more. There's one more. One more. You're hurting. You're struggling. Come on down. This is, God loves you. He's not going to burden you, but you can have his peace today. Come on down. Anybody else? Let's pray. Oh, God bless you guys for coming. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord, forgive me. I failed you. But today, I come to you. And I ask you to come into my life. To be my Lord. To be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you that you rose again from the dead. That I can have life and victory over anything that holds me back. Lord, I want to turn away from the way I'm living and walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Follow this young man right here. Thank you. And for the rest of you people, I pray that when you leave today, you're not just leaving to whatever you want to do, but leaving knowing there's someone needs to hear about Jesus from you today. Share what God has done for you and how he healed you. And if you don't follow me on social media under Comedian Nazareth, You're not making it to heaven, people. I'm sorry. I love you and thank you so much, and God bless you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.